Hey man, it is so good to see you guys. Let's see if we can get this right this time. You guys look fabulous today. We're getting better and better every year. Clovis, I would be remiss, and Edna, I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge there are those who walk around and say, I can't see the goodness of God. I don't know if I have enough evidence that God exists. And I entered this worship center and I saw that family. I saw that lineage. I saw that posterity. And all I could think was, the Lord has shined his face on Edna and Clovis, and the whole world can see his goodness. Amen. Let's give them a hand. What a beautiful family. Well, this morning, as we're continuing on, we've been in the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9, and we basically kind of just tiptoed through the first 7 verses. Well, I would like you to know that today we will come to a climax, if you will, in Isaiah, chapter number 9, verses 6 and 7. And so I would ask if you would turn there, if you will, if you have your Bible. The Old Testament, its prophetic book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. We're going to look at verse 6, or at least a portion of verse 6. When you found it, I would ask if you would stand to your feet for the reading of God's holy word. Indeed, our great God is doing great things amongst his people here at North Oak Baptist Church. There you are, DJ. It's an amazing thing. It's an amazing thing. Isaiah chapter number 9, given verse 6, I see we have 2 5 minutes here coming in. Let me take a moment to just say thank you to everyone who is joining our worship this morning at North Oaks, wherever you may be. However you may get your podcast, if you live stream, YouTube, or wherever. I want you to know, as the pastor of this great congregation, you are loved and we appreciate having you here working with us. I would ask that if the next time you're in the Houston area or Springfield, that if you would stop by and come in and shake my hand, I would like to personally thank you, welcome you into the life of all things North Oaks Baptist Church. I love pastoring this church because here at North Oaks, we are shining the light and glorifying the Father. Man, I could say that 100 times. I don't know how to get through to everyone. Isaiah chapter number 6. Isaiah chapter number 9, beginning with verse 6. Thank you. Here's how my Bible reads. For a child will be born to us. That's the message. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For a child will be born unto us. There they were, face to face, overlooking the valley of Elah. Philistine armies covered in a line in battle array. On one mountain, Saul and the man of Israel atop the other. And out comes the champion, Goliath of Gath, arguably 9 1/2 feet tall. Who among God's people was mightier? Bigger, badder, stronger, meaner than Goliath would God send to deliver his people. I like the way the Bible lays it out and the narrator there in 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll read a few verses in your hearing, verse 26 and then verse 31 through 33. Listen to the word of God. Then David spoke to the men who were standing by him, saying, what will be done
for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? Verse 31, when the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Then Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth." It's an interesting thing. The foolishness to send a child to do a man's job. So conventional wisdom would say. And so it was on that day, God delivered Israel through a child. As we've walked through Isaiah chapter number 9, seen some interesting things, have we not? First thing we saw was the reversal of proclamation, verses 1 and 2. Spoke to the coming light. But there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. Yes, it does. North Oaks family, this spoke of the coming light. Isaiah prophesied that God would deliver a remnant of Israel from pronouncement of judgment to the promise of peace. Isaiah went on to announce that God would deliver a remnant of Israel from gloom to glory. Both Israel and Judah had plunged themselves into darkness because they refused to believe the word of God. And yet God announces, "I will send my son so that where there was darkness, there will be light." In the very place where the Assyrian destruction began, the glory of God would one day shine. But not only the reversal of proclamation speaks to the coming light. Then we looked at the removal of pain right there in verse number 3. And this spoke to the coming joy. It's right there in verse 3. "You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil." Isaiah foretells that God would fulfill his covenant promise that he made to Abram way back in Genesis chapter number 17, verse 5. Listen to the word of God. "No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham. For I will make you the father of a multitude of nations." Isaiah prophesied that God would increase their gladness, that they would be glad in the presence of God. You see, North Oaks, Isaiah envisioned that sorrow, the byproduct of pain, shall one day be forever removed and replaced with joy. Not only the reversal of proclamation spoke to the coming light, the removal of pain speaks to the coming joy. But then the rescue from persecution right there in verses 4 and 5. Look at it, if you will. For you shall break the yoke of their burden, and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian, for every boot of the booted warrior in battle tumult, and cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire, the rescue from persecution. Northos, this spoke to the coming peace. Isaiah forecast that the people of God will rejoice and be glad in his presence because of what God has done. Specifically, he has broken the enemy's instruments of oppression toward his people that he might rescue us. Isaiah prophesied that one day God would finally break the cycle of war and destruction, a day when the accoutrements for war will be repurposed. He is becoming peace. North Oaks, as our text would have it, there they were, the mighty coalition of Judah's enemies, Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, and the pagan Rezin, king of Syria, waging war against the people of God, having besieged her, while at the same time, an even greater enemy lies in wait, Tiglath-Pileser, king of the mighty Assyrian Empire. Who among God's people? Who amongst the people of God was mightier, was bigger, badder, meaner, more powerful than Pekah, Rezin, and Tiglath-Pileser that God should send to deliver his people? Well, we read it right there in Isaiah chapter number 9, verse 6. Larry, it's pretty plain. For a child will be born to us. For a child, Chris, would be born to us. Somebody said, but we don't need a baby. We don't need a baby. Do you not know what we're up against? We've waited all this time and you send us a baby? No, we need a greater power. We need a bigger, a better, a meaner, a more powerful empire to overcome these. I like the way scripture put it. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Beginning with verse 22. Listen to the word of God. For indeed, Jews ask for signs, and Greeks search for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, a stumbling block, and to the Gentiles, the Greeks, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than man. It's an amazing thing. Beloved, God saved the world through a child. Family, God saved the whole world through a child. I mean, there's something in my mind. I don't know about you, but there's something in my mind when I hear that it just doesn't add up. It goes against conventional wisdom, if you will. The reversal of proclamation speaks to the coming light. The removal of pain speaks to the coming joy. The rescue from persecution speaks to the coming peace. And here in verse 6, we have the reception of power. Not man's power, Larry. God's power in a baby. In a child. The reception of power, this speaks to the coming love. The coming love, it's right there in verse number 6. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful. You know, we throw that word out. We throw that word out all the time. Oh, this is wonderful. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great. I'm just wonderful. Let me tell you something. There's only one that's wonderful. There's only one thing that's wonderful, and that is the Son of God. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Question. Can anybody tell me what's going on in that picture? I hope somebody can. Y'all got some real bad memories. That is mid 20th century Germany. That's Berlin Wall. And what's happening in that picture depicts a baby announcement. On one side, communism. On the other side, democracy. On one side, bondage. On the other side, freedom. And that's as good as it got. Can anybody tell me what's being depicted in that picture? Don't be scared. The Berlin Wall coming down. One fella didn't know nothing better to do but just throw his hands up. Ephesians 2, verse 14. For he, speaking of Christ, God's baby, for he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the power of a baby. And what does it do? What kind of wall does it break down? The power of a baby broke down the wall that's been separating us from God since the Garden of Eden. A child. Yet again, family. Yet again, here we are. We have the recurrence of that theological phenomenon known as prophetic compression. And we saw it a couple of weeks ago between Isaiah chapter number 9, verses 2 and 3. Prophetic compression is that scholarly acknowledgement of the existence of the reality of a time interval between Christ's first and second advent within a single prophetic discourse. In layman's term, between Isaiah chapter number 9, verse number 6, was Christ's first advent. Between verse 6 and verse 7 is right now. The next thing we see, after the reception of power, the coming love, we have the return of prestige. It's right there in verse 7, speaks to the coming king. Look at it, if you will. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it, to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. Indeed, this did not occur during Christ's first advent and will not happen until his second advent. Yet in a very real sense, it's already begun. In a very real sense, it's already begun. Do me a favor, family. Lift up your right hand. Ball your fist, but leave your pointer finger up. Ball your fist, but leave your pointer finger up. Now I want you to take that finger. I want you to put it here. I want you to repeat after me. It starts here. It started here. It's already happening here. Christ is ruling here. Indeed, he rules within us. I would submit to you, family, that every time you're faced with a giant, whether it be on your job, whether it be at home amongst your own family, conventional wisdom says, I'm facing this giant. Oh, war is me. No one can help. Who can deliver me? I need somebody bigger and badder than the giant that I'm facing. Where can I find? Who can I call that's bigger and badder? If I have a big, bad giant in my life, I need a bigger, badder, more powerful giant. I submit to you that every time we go against conventional wisdom, to meet evil with evil, Every time we go against conventional wisdom, the world says you must meet hate with hate. You need a more powerful hate to overcome that hate. Every time we go against conventional wisdom, mightier, bigger, badder, and meaner than whatever, we reflect the light of the Savior, King Jesus, who has already come into the world that the world might be saved through him. It was King David who united and expanded the kingdom of Israel, leading her to the height of her political and military power. And yet King Jesus, a greater than David, has come. It was King Solomon whose reign is arguably considered the zenith or absolute peak of Israel's prestige and prominence. And yet King Jesus, a greater than Solomon, has come. King David died, and they tell me Larry was buried with his father. King Solomon also died, and he too was buried amongst his fathers. But King Jesus died for our sins, according to the scriptures. He was buried and got up from the grave on the third day, according to the scriptures. And he appeared to Cephas, then the 12, then more than 500 brethren at once. And since God has brought his firstborn into the world, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That our God was finished. You can't send no child to do a man's job. God said, I'll go myself. Clothing. He said, I'll go myself. And I'll do for my people what only I can do. Because I know the thoughts that I have for them, to give them a future and a hope. Not the calamity, but a future and a hope. And expected it. Let's bow our heads. When the world was saved, I can't serve your Jesus because I can't see him. This God you're always talking about, you Christians, you think you have it all and no one else knows what's going on but you guys. Everybody else is lost and you're the only ones who have the answer. You expect me to believe that a baby, I can have peace with God because of a baby? But I've always been taught that if I'm going to conquer this oppressor, I need a bigger oppressor, a meaner oppressor, a badder oppressor. What can a baby do for me? When that baby is Jesus, that baby can do everything. Father God, we love you and thank you. Thank you for sending a child to deliver your people. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you're in this room this morning, and maybe you might believe conventional wisdom has been working for you up until this point, I'd just like to take a moment, Dave, and present some unconventional wisdom. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it foolishness. Can I give you a foolish message? God sent his baby into a world that was upside down and said, if this world is ever going to be turned right side up, my baby can do it. And so Christ entered into his own creation, kept the law that we could never keep. He took his perfection to a cross and became a curse, that anyone that would look to him would find him to be a perfect savior. This is the foolish message. That men killed him. But God raised him from the dead. And when he got up, he declared that all power in heaven and earth and under earth has been given to me. And that same Jesus called a cloud to glory. And one day, he's coming back. But he ain't just coming back for anybody. He's coming back for every man, woman, boy, and girl that put their faith in what he did. And if you've never asked Jesus to run your life and said, I'll hand you the reins, I'll give you the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel, run my life, do for me what I could never do for myself. Today would be the perfect day to do. He stands with his arms wide as far as the east is from the west, and I will accept any person that asks me to come into their heart. It's an amazing thing. A baby. If that's you and you've never accepted Jesus Christ, make today your day. We don't know when our last day is, but today you can get it right. You can get it right with God. You can have peace with God because his baby has already come. But when he comes back, he's not coming back to make peace. He's coming back to make war. If you're in this place and you need a church home, I would ask that you would come join this church, North Oaks Baptist Church. You will be put in a position to be better. You will be put in a position to be humble. You will be put into a position to be challenged. You will be put in positions to be stretched. I promise, as long as I'm here, you're going to grow. But you're going to say, I'm tired of that bald head pastor. Keep calling me, asking me to do stuff. You're going to grow. If you just need prayer, I ask that you would come forward to this altar. Let me take a brief moment, if you will. We have our Christmas Eve service. It's going to be on the 24th. That's Tuesday, Larry. Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. I would just ask, if you are in Houston, I would like to see you at that service. But if that's all I wanted, I wouldn't have wanted to ask you something extra. I'm going to challenge every person in this room. Raise your hand if you're in this room. I'm going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you. Now, get this. I don't want you to miss this. Are you listening? Are you sure? Here's what I want to challenge you. I want every person in this room to invite at least 5 people to come to our North Oaks Baptist Church Christmas Eve service. I want everyone in this room to invite at least 5 people, and I want you to bring at least one. Let me say that again. We never had no challenge just like that. Well, you just did. I want you to invite 5 people. Can we do that? That's not asking too much to invite 5 people, is it? You're just asking them, did you know that what God has done for the world through his baby? invite five people, and I want you to bring at least one. Now, I'm not going to hold it against you. Don't be outside the building looking to see if I'm watching so you can sneak in. I'm asking you to bring somebody. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But I'm just crazy enough to believe that our God, when his people are united in purpose, he do his best work. Let me say that again. I just believe when God's people are united in purpose, even in weakness, God does his best work. Can we do that? Invite five, bring one.